Hi, this is World Peace Diet course facilitator Steve Prusak on the call with you. Welcome to Dr. Will Tuttle's World Peace Diet Circle for this April 2013. And the theme of this evening is Thriving as Vegans in a Non-Vegan World. Well, let's welcome to the call right now our host, course leader, Dr. Will Tuttle.
Great. Thank you very much, Steve. And I'd like to welcome everybody to the call. Can you hear me okay, Steve? Does this sound good?
Yeah, no. I couldn't find you for a minute there because you're under guest.
I know. I know. I just did that. But anyway, okay, it sounds good. Great.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks so much, Steve. And I want to just reiterate what Steve just said. Basic theme for tonight's call is thriving as vegans in a non-vegan world, which I think is really an important subject to spend at least some time here talking about and thinking about. So I want to put that out there at the very beginning and invite everyone as we're going along, if you have thoughts that you'd like to contribute to that, to this discussion of the idea of, you know, what you have found has helped you thrive as a vegan in a non-vegan world. I think the more we can hear about this subject, the better. And before we actually dive into all this, though, I would like to just maybe, again, like we very often do, just invite all of us to take a moment and feel our connection with each other, even though we're not actually sitting in a room together looking into each other's eyes and sharing verbally that way, which I really wish we could, but we're in places all over North America and in other countries as well. And this, of course, will be recorded for people who are in Europe and other places. They can listen to it tomorrow or it's in the middle of the night right now. But in any event, as I'm saying, just take a moment to feel our connection with each other at the heart level, knowing that we share the same yearning and desire that non-human animals can live their lives free from human violence and slavery and impositions. And with our human brothers and sisters, the human animals, that we feel our aspiration that we can learn to live our lives on this beautiful planet with more compassion and more wisdom, and that we're working together in a variety of ways, directly and indirectly, to help lay the foundation for a world that is very different than the world that we were born into, a world that is, in a sense, our future beckoning, a world of kindness and compassion and sustainability and freedom for all living beings. And that our lives, as best we can, are manifestations of this, that the vegan way of living is an important part, essential, probably key part of this effort. So we take a moment to feel our connection with each other, with all of our loved ones, wherever they may be on the path of awakening, and the whole human family, the whole web of life, this vast interconnected web that we're all part of, and give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have for a human life, which in some traditions, like in the Buddhist tradition, it's said to be exceedingly rare to be born as a human being, and to have the opportunity for awakening, to have a sound mind and body, and that it's important that we not fritter this opportunity away in distractions, as in many ways we're pressured to do by our society. And so I really admire everyone, all of you who are on this call. You are all, in many ways, truly my heroes, people who have been able to deeply question the massive amount of programming and indoctrination that we all are subjected to growing up in the society through the food program and the underlying mentality of violence and domination and exploitation and oppression and privilege that is part and parcel of killing 75 million animals every day in the United States, as we do in the United States, for food. And to question all of that, to question it so deeply that you're not only changing your behavior, but you're understanding, making an effort to understand the deeper ramifications of this whole thing, which I think is really the ticket to a better world for us. It's a ticket out of here. I think veganism is, as I've said somewhere, I think it's nothing to be proud of. It's just that we've managed to slip through the cracks of the prison and we're free, at least a lot freer. And it can be heartbreaking, for sure, to see what's going on to animals and to people and to ecosystems and to the slaughterhouse workers and the kind of world that our children are inheriting as the environmental devastation continues to increase. So at least we're doing something. I think it's the most powerful thing anyone can do to question that, which is to switch to a plant-based diet and way of living and know the reason why, understand the reason why, not simply, as Lily said, I thought that was so great last month, through the back door for health reasons or through the side door for environmental reasons, even though those are, I think, both very important dimensions of this whole thing. But through the door also, I think the most important door is the door of compassion, in the sense that that is the motivation that veganism is actually addressing, and that in the World Peace Diet we talk about is foundational to the kind of transformation that we can have as individuals and as a society, that we're not so much self-oriented in our quest for happiness, but that we're radically inclusive. That's what veganism, I think, really is radical inclusion, learning to include all beings within the sphere of our kindness and compassion. So bless you all. Thanks again for being here, and let's open it up. So remember now, press star 2 on your phone if you would like to raise your hand and say something, and we'll see you. We can actually see it. Also, if you'd like to type in something, you can do that if you're online, and I will check every once in a while to see if there are any questions or comments that have been typed in from your membership site. And Steve, if I miss anything, please let me know, as you do so well. Thanks always for that. And so we have quite a few interesting things that have been happening in the last month since our last call. Here we are, the third Thursday of April 2013, and a lot has been happening in this last month. One thing I want to mention before I forget, because I noticed it right sort of near the beginning, before we went began the call, that some of you may be having a little difficulty with the forums. I think it really is a good idea if you have a chance on the community forum, where we have the discussion boards, and we can start. Anyone can start a discussion at any time, you know. And if you see something that's interesting, please feel free to share it there. It's like Facebook in a lot of ways, in the sense that we should be getting notifications if we start a thread and someone posts to the thread, or if someone responds to our post. And Steve can perhaps correct me if I'm wrong, if you know more about this, Steve, but there seemed to be a couple of questions about that, people that posted things and then they didn't get an email about it. You may not always get an email. I guess that's what I found. When I post, it seems like I do sometimes get emails that someone is responding to my post in the community forums. I do get them myself. So I know that it does happen sometimes, but I don't think it happens every time. So it's probably good to, if you can, set your settings so that you receive follow-ups, if you'd like to, of course. And otherwise, you know, and then, but also to go ahead and check there too. I mean, just log in to the site that Steve has put together so well. I think it's the community forum site, and just check, click on all discussions. You can see they're listed there in order of the most recent, after the announcements at the very beginning, most recent posts. So you can see what people are talking about, and you can begin your own as well. And I think it's a great opportunity to get to know each other. It's wonderful, for example, for me anyway, to see that two of my very favorite people, when I met Catherine Perry, who lives in the Midwest, who teaches French at a university and is a vegan and a World Peace Diet facilitator, but she has met Stefan Wolf on a community forum, which I think is so great, because Stefan Goodwin, sorry about that, is another Stefan Wolf, who's a World Peace Diet facilitator, who's helping to translate the book into German. Stefan Goodwin is helping to translate the book into the World Peace Diet into French. In fact, he's actually single-handedly translated the entire book into French. So kudos to you, Stefan. Thanks so much for doing that, and is working now to secure a publisher for the book, because he really feels that it's important for the World Peace Diet to be published in French, because there aren't any books in French apparently that go deeply into the whole big picture of mistreatment of animals for food and what veganism is all about. And he was saying one of his posts, you can all see it there, that he thinks that France is sort of one of the worst places to live in terms of people really being into meat and dairy heavily, and it's kind of hard to question it. And but it's great, you know, just to me, it's very heartening to see people who are devoting so much time and effort to bring the message to their culture. A woman named Catherine from Germany is living in Colombia. I thought I'd just mention this because you may not all be aware of it. Some of you probably are, but I just got an email from her not too long ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, that she is committed to translating the book into German, because her daughter has been born, and she said this really beautiful thing. I thought it was so neat how even before her daughter was conceived, she was getting messages from this being who was saying that she wanted to come into the world through her. And when she was born, she and her husband moved, or I guess before she was born, they moved to Colombia, and they live very far out in the jungle, and they're living in a very pure environment in Colombia, growing their own food. And she wants to, she said she wants her daughter to be able to grow up in a beautiful world where she cries in joy at this beautiful planet and at the opportunity of a human life and loving relationships. And so therefore, she said, it's very important for her to translate the book into German so that more people will know the message and will be able to get closer to the goal of living on a planet that's sustainable and free. And undertaking the task of translating the World Peace Diet, which is 300 pages, very dense, is really a huge undertaking. And I applaud the many people who have done this in many languages, pretty much all of them, as volunteers. This is enormously, it's amazing to me, into both forms of Chinese, into Indonesian, into Korean, into Russian, into Slovenian, into Hebrew, into Croatian, into German and French, and already into Spanish. You can get the Spanish version online. And this is amazing. These are all volunteer efforts. And I'm just actually so humbled by this and so grateful. So thank you all of you who've done these things and are still, and some other translations are going on. And hopefully it will be in every language at some point, at least all the major languages. So as you gathered, we don't have any particular special guest this evening. And we did for so many of the first year or so, year and a half of the World Peace Diet Circle. And I think we still will, of course, but it seems like it's so precious for us to have the opportunity to just have time together, just us. So, again, please feel free to press star 2 if you have any comments or questions. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that, about the forums and how I think helpful they can be, encourage everybody to use them. And this example of Stefan and Catherine, and also I want to mention the translation work as well. One of the things that I want to emphasize tonight, which I think actually is an important point, there was an article that is in your April 2013 Resources for the World Peace Diet Circle that you got in your inbox, and it's a three-page World Peace Diet Circle document, and it's a Word document. And near the end, I have an article there, which is from the Baltimore Sun. It's called The Littlest Vegans, Raising Vegan Kids. And right after that, there's another article, Google, Veganism on the Rise. But both of these articles really talk about something that I think is important to be aware of. And that is the fact that veganism is on the rise. And there's people who sort of somewhat disagree with this, and I guess we don't know ultimately exactly what's happening in the world. You know, we have Harris has conducted these polls and paid by the Vegetarian Resource Group to do so. But, you know, it's just, to me, enormously optimistic, if it's really true, that the percentage of people who consider themselves to be vegans, because that's really all you can do. You don't have police following them around to see what they're actually eating and buying. But the percentage of people who consider themselves vegans has gone from about 1% back in the 90s, 94, say. And I remember when it was about 0.5%, I think it was around, so I guess it was even a little, because I thought it was around 0.5%. But anyway, according to this article, it was up to 3% in 2010 and up to 5% in 2012. And now, I don't know, again, I don't know if this is really accurate, but there seems to be major movement, major increase. This is like incredibly important information, if it's just true or if it's reflecting a basic trend. It's an accelerating increase. And to me, it bodes very well. And so whether or not it's exactly accurate, because that's a huge increase, and really, you know, the thing is, if we continue like that, then the entire country will be vegan within, I don't know exactly, but obviously with that kind of acceleration within probably, you know, 15 years or 20 years, it's doubling, you know. So that's awesome, but just in from the point of view that vegan foods, for example, are widely recognized to be probably the fastest growth industry. People are moving in that direction. Restaurants, the restaurant industry is calling 2013 the year of the vegan restaurant, or the year of the vegan meals. I mean, restaurants are really realizing very clearly that this is a huge change that's happening. This other article is just about how the Google and the search engine, the searches for about vegan topics and so forth, is rapidly increasing also. So there's enormous good positive feedback here that what we're doing is having an effect. And I think it's very important when we get sometimes beaten down and depressed and sad and overwhelmed by the incredible mass amount of blood and suffering that is happening at our hands to the animals, to realize that that's something that we've been born into, a cultural situation that goes back about 8,000 or 10,000 years of owning animals and killing them and using them for food, herding them, but that there is definitely strong signs of a major sea change happening. And it has to happen. You know, the situation is critical. I think, you know, there's nothing more important anyone can do today than to find the creative outlets that within you, not just creative, I mean, even uncreative, you know, whatever outlets you have that you can contribute to helping people to realize the benefits for themselves and for others moving toward more compassionate lifestyle, a more plant-based diet, obviously, and also reducing the amount of wool, silk, leather, down, zoos, circuses, rodeos, products tested on animals. I mean, the way we use animals is just woven into our entire society. But to begin to consciously extricate ourselves from that and to do the best we can to live our lives so that the ripples that radiate from our life through our, in the Buddhist tradition, through body, speech, and mind, through our words and actions and thoughts, that they create the most amount of kindness and compassion for other beings and the least amount of misery and suffering. Not only is it better for the world and for these other beings, I don't have to say it, but it's a lot better for ourselves as well. We're planting seeds in consciousness of greater happiness for ourselves as well. So this is, you know, to me, is fabulous news, and I want to really underline that we have a major shift underway. Now, one of the things that it's important to be aware of is that there really is, there has been for quite a while, a lot of pushback from the industry, and I think just from people in general about this. The more veganism naturally spreads and grows, the more we're going to find a resistance to that increasing, because it's really the foundation of our culture. So a lot of regular people will just find things that they can say or think or do to somehow deflect this whole thing, because it's threatening to them on some level, because being programmed to eat in a certain way is almost a unconscious pre-verbal situation. And so people very often will have a knee-jerk reaction and try to just ignore it or avoid being aware of it. As I talk about in the World Peace Diet, we believe this. When we believe beliefs that we did not arrive at freely on our own, then we cannot defend them. We don't know why we believe it. We just believe it. So when people believe they need to eat meat, for example, that's what people in a herding culture are taught to believe from the time they're born. Not in terms of content, but in terms of form. In other words, the content isn't really, it's not specifically taught. The mother doesn't typically sit down, sometimes they will, or people will, and say that we live in a culture where we believe that we need to eat animals. You know, we just eat them at meals. You know, this is what we do, and we learn to see them as mere objects. And so it's through the rituals and through the, it's called paradigmatic learning, through the learning of the paradigm of the culture, through the ritualized behavior, the underlying beliefs get injected into us. And since we never had a chance to weigh them or think about them or in any way try to evaluate them, then it's very problematic. We have a split inside of ourselves. We have somewhat of a cultural schizophrenia where we have morals and values that call us naturally to be kind and loving to others and not harm them unnecessarily. And yet we actually live the opposite. And this is playing out everywhere. I don't know if you saw my recent article. I hope you had a chance to read it. But if not, I just posted an article. It actually finally went up yesterday. I wrote it a few, maybe 4 or 5 days ago. And so it just went up. And it's called Spoons Over Bombs. Kind of a play on Forks Over Knives. Spoons Over Bombs, the most powerful... I don't have it right in front of me here, actually. Let's see. But it's the, I'm just trying to find it here, my article. Surprised I don't have it. It's the, it's an article on basically taking the Korean War or this tension with Korea that we have and looking at through the lens of that. It's called Spoons Over Bombs, the Most Effective Peace Activism. And seeing, you know, how can we keep going into war after war after war? What is it that drives this whole thing? And so I won't go into all that, but the point I'm making basically here is that we live in a culture where we are all forced into behaviors that are not in our best interest. This is the cultural program, and that our violence towards animals for food is an underlying factor, probably the most powerful underlying factor in all of the problems that we have. As you know, if you've read the World Peace Guide, that's a major issue. And so it's very easy as we go along, the years go by since the World Peace Diet was actually published, but we can see it unfolding, obviously, more and more clearly every single day, basically. So that's, you know, understanding that, I think, is a key factor in being able to create a foundation in our lives where we can thrive as vegans. So I want to go into this now a little bit more. And from my point of view, when we think about thriving as vegans, we want to look at it on a couple of different levels. We want to look at it from the point of view of nutritional health, from the point of view of psychological health, from the point of view of social health, and from the point of view of spiritual health. And we I think thriving as vegans is the foundation for being an effective advocate for veganism. If we're not thriving as vegans, people are going to be aware of it. On some level, they're going to smell that something isn't quite right here. So I think it's very important for us to be effective vegan advocates to consciously learn as much as we can about what we can do to thrive as people, as human beings in this culture today on this planet. What is it that will make us, I love the word thrive, you know, not just survive or get along, but live lives with gusto and joy and creativity and health on every level, creativity and in some way fulfill our purpose. What are we here on this earth to fulfill? To really, in a authentic way, to wrestle with that question and to to engage with it and to do whatever it takes to live as deeply as we possibly can, to live as much as we can in alignment with a purpose that perhaps comes from a deeper place than just what our mind tells us, because this is what people who live in our society are supposed to do if they're happy, something like that. So if we could consciously address this, I think that would be the foundation of happiness and health, is just learning to take time every day to figure out, in a sense, what is the purpose for my life today, you know, and maybe have a long-range purpose as well. Why am I here? And I think the more we are able to live our lives with a sense of purpose and meaning and mission, then the more healthy we're going to be at a deeper level. Our body has this enormous intelligence. You know, we've talked about that, how scientists now say that our bodies are made up of some huge number, something like 30 trillion cells, and every cell is more complex than New York City. You know, this enormous complexity, it's utterly mind-boggling. And that enormous complexity is actually enormous intelligence. And it's not just human beings, it's also pigs and chickens and cows also have trillions of cells that are just as complex as New York City too. And so they have an enormous intelligence. And so their intelligence, and this is something for us to think about for ourselves, when you think about it, when these beings are born into captivity, think of that. When they are born into captivity, their beaks are chopped off, their tails are docked, their noses are bashed, their babies are stolen, they're impregnated against their will. I mean, they're just hyper-confined. This massive intelligence that actually would just function in a way so that they could celebrate their lives in the wild, in nature, the way they did for millions of years, and mating and engaging in relationships and and having a whole social life and a purpose and feelings and everything that, that these animals do, which we can't, you know, we can't even comprehend the capacities that, that animals have, how they can go places and know how to migrate and navigate and all kinds of things. And so anyway, that massive intelligence is suddenly absolutely thwarted, and every cell is thrown into confusion, really, at the deepest level, because then they're not allowed to in any way fulfill their natural functions. And so, and then we eat that stuff. I mean, we feed it to our children. It's complete, you know, from the point of view of a metaphysical level, utter confusion, frustration, antagonism, and insanity, really. These poor animals are driven into insanity by the system. And this is true, I think, whether or not they're in factory farms or in the backyard of somebody's house, they're still ripped out of nature, because they're someone's property. They have no way to fulfill their lives the way they did for millions of years. Well, so just to be aware of that, I think, is very important, and also to realize that in a very real sense, all of us have also been born into captivity, that you know, a lot of the way birth is done on factory farms, where the baby is stolen from the mother and so forth, there's a lot of violence against the baby, and in the birthing process is happening, this, you know, as I say in the Wolfie's Diet, whatever we do to animals, we eventually do to each other and to ourselves. And so this is what's happening to us. So poor little kids today, as they're born, they're unfortunately, the birth is very violent nowadays, I think more than it needs to be, with vaccinations and with separation of the infants from their mothers and with just all kinds of surgical procedures, basically, that happen. And so it's very difficult, I think. It's great that we can be as sane as we are. I think that's a testament to the human spirit. But given the fact that in many ways we're born into the same kind of situation, so the natural intelligence of our bodies and minds in many ways is repressed. So what veganism is about and what thriving is about is allowing our intelligence again to unfold, which I think is beautiful. So I just want to encourage everyone who's listening to do things that help you to express yourself creatively. They can be in relationship to veganism in the sense, you know, we have friends who are musicians and they write songs that help, you know, with words to liberate animals, you know, and I think that's fantastic. But even if it's not liberating animals, even if it's you're just an instrument like me, I'm an instrumental pianist primarily, although obviously I have albums out that, that try to bring the plight of animals to people's awareness. But just, I think, being creative in and of itself in a positive way does help us to connect with our intuition and our wisdom and our purpose. So I really want to encourage all of us to, in terms of thriving, to be as creative as we possibly can. I think that's one of the factors. I have actually a number of factors I was going to mention here this evening, but we can, you know, we can kind of take our time too here. I notice we've got some comments, some hands raised. So I think maybe I'll take a little break here, and I want to get back to thriving as vegans, because I feel actually very passionate about this. I think, you know, for us to be really authentically persuasive in a sense where we're not trying to manipulate anybody, but just, you know, as Walt Whitman said, I don't try to convince anybody. My being convinces anybody of anything. You know, just how we are in the world, we are an expression of kindness and compassion for all life. We feel that in our bones. Our cells are celebrating this in our hearts. So it means really a deep inner transformation, so that the vegan ideal is not something we just wear on the surface level and follow rules about what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to not do, usually is what it is, and how we're better than other people who don't do that, but where we're actually living a deep sense of being connected to a benevolent universe, and our purpose here is to bless others, to find a way to help others be happy and to reduce their suffering and enslavement. And the only way we can do that is to do it ourselves. The only way we can actually do that is to do it ourselves. So I think these are critical things to understand, and it's so important to understand the actual nuts and bolts of things, too. I think it's very important to understand the foundations of good vegan nutrition, for example. And it's very important, I think, to understand the foundations of healthy relationships. Nonviolent communication, for example, is a wonderful tool. And also to understand something about the spiritual life, the spiritual path that we can take as human beings, how we can free ourselves from patterns of negativity that get themselves kind of, they claw into our flesh almost from the time, from the past, to perhaps way things, some events that happened in our past when we were children and so forth, traumatic things that can we can work on. And I think the more we do this and become free, the more we can thrive, and the better naturally we'll be as activists and as voices for animals. So I'd like to pause here, and we have, like I said, a few people who have questions. So Rebecca, Michigan, you are with us. Would you like to ask a question or make a statement or say hello or whatever?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know again that we're having our first annual Veg Week in Ann Arbor next week. We have the Sasha Farm Banquet on Saturday, and there's Veg Michigan is the big veg fest on Sunday, and then Monday through the following Sunday, we have all these events planned for Ann Arbor, and it's really exciting. It seems like people are looking forward to it, and there is a huge growth movement happening right now, so that's really encouraging. And I think the other thing is, personally, I just feel all of a sudden, and I don't know if it's just after being vegan 3 years, you start to relax or something, but I've just kind of, I don't care anymore what people think. And I just, I am just what I am and comfortable with it, and not feeling defensive anymore. And just feeling so right about it. And I mean, everything you were just saying just resonates so much. And that's another funny thing that I always notice on Facebook. It seems like there's, I always think I want to start a church called the Church of Collective Consciousness. Because especially in the vegan community, there seems to be like this, we're all in the same wavelength a lot of the time. And maybe it's just because we know what's going on in the world, and we all think the same thoughts, but it's so funny how a lot of times your feelings resonate with somebody else that you see on Facebook. But one other thing I wanted to share with you guys is I found this really nice graphic on Facebook, and I posted this on my page. But it says, vegan, a person who believes in peace, love, compassion, solidarity, and health, who wants to end world hunger, have clean air, land, and water, and keep the rainforests, save the world's resources, and end the unnecessary torture and killing of animals. And then I wrote as my comment, bombs in Boston, no background checks, rice and mail, wolves under attack in every state, civil war in countries all around the world, nuclear weapons being created by unstable rulers. Tell me again why you're not vegan.
Good.
So I just, I thought that was really important. Of course, nobody really commented on it, but a few people liked it, not just vegans. So I think, people are starting to get fed up with what's going on in the world, I think, and hopefully some of them will put that together with your ideas that you have in the World Peace Diet and realize that the violence begins with us.
Right. Yes, I just, in the article I just wrote, I call it the war machine. We have to dismantle the war machine on our plate. That's really where I think it really starts. And I'm really glad that you mentioned again and reminded us about your the event you're having in Ann Arbor. Could you just repeat, it's a whole week long. What's it called, the annual, what was it?
It's called the first annual Ann Arbor Veg Week.
Veg Week,
and
right, okay.
We're having do you want me to kind of go over what we're doing?
Well, I think it might be interesting for people who are listening, because, you know, people are listening from all over the place, you know, and this is the kind of thing that can be replicated. I mean, more and more, like just last weekend, okay, I flew to Cincinnati, and it was the first annual, it was their first annual Veg Fest, you know, and there
mm-hmm.
are Veg Fests now in cities all over the country. But Cincinnati, you know, they never had one before, and so they had one, they had a budget from the university to pay for my airfare, so I flew there and gave a lecture, and it was great to see this thing start. We probably had about, I guess we had 500-700 people, which, you know, isn't a huge number, but it's great to get it started.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think they did it there because, you know, we've seen that people in other cities, there's the Orlando Veg Fest and the Portland Veg Fest and the Boston Veg Fest, and there's Veg Fest everywhere. And so more and more cities, people, local activists are inspired by that, and so they're doing it in their locale, and it's actually having a big effect on people. People go to these things and they learn and they sample. I mean, there were so many booths with all kinds of great vegan food, and there were lectures, and there was music, and it was, you know, this whole thing, big party kind of a thing. And it was just, the whole thing was about how to be healthy and really about how to thrive as a vegan. And it's at the community level where people actually meet each other and relationships can be made. And so what you're talking about is the first annual Veg Week. And I haven't heard of many of those, and I just was thinking it would be great to say a little bit more about, like, Sasha Farm, and just briefly, but maybe just quickly, you know, like what you're, like the kinds of events you're doing, because I think this is something else people need to do.
I'll give everybody the website. It's AnnArborVegWeek.org.
Right.
AnnArborVegWeek.org. And the Sasha Farm is not really part of it. It just happens to coincide with the same, you know, because this is vegan month or something, veg month, I don't know. There seems like April is the time when everything's happened. So that coincides.
Right.
But then Veg Michigan has the big Veg Fest, which is at this huge a huge showcase, you know, what do they call it? You know, a trade venue.
Right.
And that's got all sorts of free samples of foods and vendors, and that's like an enormous thing. And that seems to get bigger and bigger every year. I think there's several thousand people that come to that. And Neil Bernard is speaking this year, and I can't remember who else is going. I'm actually not going to that, because it's a little too much of a zoo for me, but it's great. It's
great that it's got
really
that
fantastic
people,
to see that many people there. And then our Veg Week starts on Monday. We have John Sally, and the mayor of Ann Arbor is giving some kind of speech. Then Tuesday we're showing Vegucated, and have a cardiologist speaking after that. And we're also doing grocery store tours at Whole Foods on a couple days. I'm going to give some of those tours just to show people where to find stuff, because I, from talking to some of my friends, they always say, no, I don't. What is all this stuff, and where do you find it? So
right.
We figured that'll be good, and then some ideas on what to eat. Jim Corcoran is coming to speak on Wednesday about his journey to weight loss and improved health. And then Thursday we have an environmentalist, Jeff Hampton. He's speaking.
Great, you have a lot of local people. Yeah, that's great.
I don't know Jeff Hampton, so I'll have to look into him a little more. On Friday we're having a vegan potluck at the Humane Society, and Patrice Jones, who runs the Vine Sanctuary in Vermont, is coming to speak.
Right.
There.
Right.
And also on Saturday she's speaking. And then on Sunday we have a cooking demo, and I think that kind of wraps it up. Oh, no, and yeah, a couple of cooking demos and a talk on nutrition. So it's, you know, there's stuff for people to do all week long, and everything's free. And
yeah. Well, that's great.
I'll,
yeah, that's
we'll,
nice.
I'll yeah. report next month on how it went. But
right, right.
Oh, and the, you know, one thing that I think is really exciting that we're doing is we encouraged a lot of restaurants who don't normally have vegan food to offer a vegan dish that week.
Great.
So,
yeah.
Besides promoting the vegan restaurants that are in town, so.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be really fun.
Great. Well, thanks. Yeah, that's. I think you're right. I think that's great. Thanks, Rebecca. There's just for people who are listening and don't know, she mentioned Sasha Farm, which is a right out it's in the same general area in Michigan, which is a sanctuary for farmed animals, and it's a wonderful place. I've lectured there, and it's a good educational place where people can go and see pigs and cows and chickens as beings rather than as things. And these people, John Sally, the pro basketball player, who's a very, very articulate vegan, actually. He's great. I've been very impressed with him. And Patrice Jones of Vine Sanctuary, which Vine, V-I-N-E, vegan, is the next evolution. And she started a sanctuary, and she's great, too. So, and Vegetated is a wonderful video. So you're getting great people and events, and these will definitely have impacts. So, that's fantastic. Was that the brainchild of like one or two people? Do you have any idea how what got that going? Whose idea it was, or was it just sort
it's
of a committee?
It's an offshoot of the Veg Michigan group,
right?
But
Veg Michigan, yeah.
But I think it's just some of the members of Veg Michigan, and I'm one of them.
Yeah.
But there's like I don't know, like probably 10 of us involved in getting this going.
Right.
So, and then we all, you know, help out in our own little ways. Like, not there's one person sort of in charge of everything, but most people are just, you know, helping out where they can. So it's
right.
You don't have to feel overwhelmed by, oh, I have to do all this stuff.
Right, right.
And
it's great to have.
I think it'll kind of have a life of its own as we go on.
right. All right, Rebecca. Thank you so much for sharing. Really, it's great to hear from you.
You too.
All right. Thanks. Okay, and yeah, we have someone from Colonial Beach, Virginia. I'm not sure who it is, but you may not be from Colonial Beach, Virginia. You may be just from Virginia, but you're that's all I can see up here. Your phone is now live. Hello.
Good evening, Will. This is Grace.
Oh, Grace. Oh, I should have known better. Hi, how are right. So how are you doing? This is Grace. Good.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, thank you, and good evening to everybody participating on the call. It's so awesome to be involved, and I'm glad I finally found the number and wrote it in on my calendar so I could participate tonight.
Good to have you.
Yeah, there were a couple of things. Well, for over a year now, I have had on the back windshield of my car a quote from your Living in Harmony with All Life CD.
Uh-huh.
I got some of they're actually a water-based marker that I got at like a Michael's craft store or something. And I put the quote, the reason that we have the problems we have in the world could be because of our violence against animals for food. And I put the quotation marks, and I put your name, and then I put in big letters, worldpeacediet.com. And it's ignited scores, I mean dozens and dozens, I mean lots and lots of conversations.
Oh, really?
yeah.
Yeah, great.
It really has, in fact. This afternoon, as I got done at the post office, where I had mailed my mother some vegan starter kits and some coupons and some different things to help her on her way with her vegan journey, there was a lady outside the post office who wanted to take a picture, and And I got to talking with her, and it's awesome because she self-educated about a month ago, and she decided she was going to give it a try, and she's committed. So it was really, really wonderful to talk with her and to share some resources with her.
Great.
But I was thinking, I really like that quote because a lot of times when I see somebody examining the back of my car, I ask them if they'd like a CD, and I give them a copy of The Living in Harmony with All Life, if they're interested. But if I just have a conversation with them, I can speak directly to this mentality of reductionism, and that we take
right.
the animals and reduce them to things to eat or things to use or wear, and that mentality spreads. It's been very good. But I was thinking that I might want to change it up and use a quote from page 153 in the book, actually. But I don't know that I'm not sure. So I was going to ask you if you think maybe it's from like the middle of the first full paragraph. It would be dot dot dot. Why haven't the thousands seeking to improve and heal the world through scientific or spiritual development addressed the obviously violent and predatory mentality required by our food choices? Question mark. I haven't looked into all of the nonviolent communication things, but I was wondering if you think that this quote would it's a question, but I was just wondering if you thought that would be maybe a good question to have on the back of my car, or if it would, since it's all the way into chapter 9 of the book, like maybe it's too deep and it would be like offensive, or like I don't know, what would you think about me using that quote?
Well, I think that really gets to the heart of the question of everything, and I'm just looking at it right here. Why haven't the thousands seeking to improve and heal the world through scientific or spiritual development addressed the obviously violent and predatory mentality required by our food choices? I think it's terrific. I mean, if you had that, can you imagine driving down the road and seeing that? I mean, I think, you know, you might have people swerving off the road or something, but no, I'm just kidding. But I think, I think it's an excellent question. I mean, you're right. It's totally, much deeper than most people want to go into. It's much beyond the typical little bumper sticker. It's more words and longer, but deeper thought. It's kind of like, whoa. So, you know, it would be, if you wanted to paraphrase it and you cut it down a little bit, I'm sure that would be fine, too. But, you know, I mean, I think a good way to know is to try it out and see what happens, you know, see if you feel like you're getting conversations. You're inspiring me. I don't even have a World Peace Diet quote on my car, and I wrote the dang book, you know. I should probably have one. I mean, we have these big, the one from Mercy for Animals where it has a picture of the little pig and the little puppy and why eat one and why love one and eat the other. And we get lots of opportunities to hand out Living in Harmony with All Life from that. And people want to have a picture of it and so forth. But I think yours, in a way, is more creative. So that's great. Can you just repeat the very first one, the one you have now, the reason we have the violence? Can you just say it one more time?
Yeah, I'll step out and read it directly. And instead of actually being from the book, it's something that I transcribed from the disc.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it says, quote, "The reason that we have the problems that we have in the world could be because of our violence against animals for food."
Right.
And then Will Tuttle. And what I did was because I wrote it by hand, I put "could be" in big letters, and I kind of did I made them bigger and thicker letters, and then because of our violence, I made that the O U R capitalized so that You know, I don't have any problem sitting in traffic now, Will. It's amazing. I really,
right.
Like when I'm stuck in traffic, you know, I'm stuck in traffic and I just feel like, okay, well, this is a good opportunity for the people behind me to make better use of their time waiting. And one time I saw a motorcycle rider. He was flying by me, and then he slows down. And I thought because we were coming up to Southern California, like the place where you have to like say if you're an American citizen or something. And so he went flying by me, and I thought he slowed down really fast because he saw a police up ahead. But he didn't. He slowed down just enough to get like basically behind me, read the back of my car, and then he lingered there for, I don't know, for like a quarter mile or so. And then as he drove by, he waved and took off of that. Wow, okay, awesome. It does work. I mean, it's not just the conversations, but, yeah, it has really started a lot of conversations. And again, I feel at peace now in traffic. And it also helps me be a little bit more courteous of a driver.
Right, that's true. You're a jerk, you know, when you're driving because you have this message. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, well, I think that's a really good quote because it's not really making a statement. It's more asking a question also. You know, it could be, you know, saying it could be voluntary animals for food. I think that's, you know, excellent, really, in terms of helping people, just giving them something to think about. And I don't think any of us, when we plant a seed, because what you're doing is planting seeds, we should ever doubt that it has an impact. You know, it definitely has an impact. That's one of the things I think it's important to remember in terms of thriving as a vegan. So a lot of people, I think, suffer as vegans a lot, feeling that they're not making an impact or it's impossible to make an impact. And two things I want to emphasize. One is that when we plant a seed, it always does add up in someone's experience. And maybe it'll take, you know, X number of times for a person to hear the vegan message. Maybe it takes 100 times. And if you're just number 47 on the list, you don't think it did anything. But that was needed to get to the number 100, which actually then the person finally goes vegan or looks into it. And so keep planting those seeds. I think that's the key here. And to realize that we do have an effect. And, you know, I was amazed when I saw a video. You probably saw it recently. It's been going around online of this Catholic priest who just saw a billboard. It's actually the same one that I had on our truck. Why hug one and kill the other and eat the other, about the puppy and the little piggy. And he said that he saw that billboard and it just affected him so deeply that he just changed his entire life. This Catholic priest is now really promoting veganism in New York City. He's hosting video screenings. He's sermonizing. He's making his whole life devoted to this. And it was just, you know, seeing this little message somewhere, you know. And so you have no idea. None of us have any idea what can happen. And so that's why I think it's important. But nothing will happen if we don't do anything. So it's, you know, it's helpful, I think, to pray or meditate or contemplate what it is, the kind of message I'd like to give and how I'd like to do it, and then just let it happen. So thanks so much, Grace, for being a great example. Do you have anything else you want to mention?
Yes, actually, to that in piggybacking to that, if there's any World Peace Day people in Southern California who would like me to decorate their car with a vegan message of their choice, I will come out and be happy to do that.
Great. What a great offer.
On the other hand, I recently partnered with the Peace Advocacy Network, and they have some corporate sponsors, and they have like a program, you know, a little format, agenda, and everything. So I will be giving a class at the library about veganism. And if there are any vegans in Southern California who would care to be mentors or otherwise maybe Maybe they have a family or friends who would want to attend as like a student to the Vegan Pledge. I made a post on the World Peace Diet book in Facebook. I kind of felt a little bit bad about that. And if you want me to remove it, I can put it over on my personal page.
No, it's okay. It's good. It's good.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because, yeah, the Peace Advocacy Network, they're kind of working on the interconnectedness of different kinds of oppression, and they're working
right.
to alleviate the suffering of different kinds of groups. Personally, I'm just interested in the vegan component, and they've developed, they're the big nonprofit organization. They've developed relationships so that Whole Foods, you know, they get coupons and different things to give to the pledgees. So,
right.
Yeah, so if there's any World Peace Diet folks in Southern California who could be supportive or recommend their family or friends or coworkers or neighbors who've expressed an interest, you know, they can come on over and get support, education. It's so awesome to see you. I can't wait until the 1st of June, right, and the Vegan Spirituality Retreat. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's going to be a vegan spirituality retreat that I'll be speaking at. It's going to be in Malibu on June 4th, right? Yeah, on a Saturday. I think that's right. And, yeah, everyone's welcome to attend. It's, I'm going to do another one in Philadelphia in July. That one will be on, June 1st, right? June 1st in Malibu, and then July, I think it is the 20th in Philadelphia. So, and maybe I'll just briefly mention here, the Peace Advocacy Network has I'm not really as familiar with it as you are, Grace, but that apparently there's a system in place where you can be a mentor of someone who's just a new vegan, so you can help them on the vegan journey. Am I right about that? Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's what the Vegan Pledge is about, is connecting them with real live vegans who, you know, can take them to the grocery store and help them figure out, you know, what are animal products and you know, and introduction to things like happycow.net. And one of my things, you know, over the last 3 years, I've only been doing individual type advocacy, and a lot of my clients, you know, and our comp clients, they're not, you know, I don't think of them like that, but, you know, maybe they're on food stamps or something like that, and whatever other problems there might be with Walmart, you know, that's where they get their groceries, and I go, and it's been really amazing, you know, to find actual vegan certified, you know, sugar, you know, on the shelf, you know, in a 1 pound bag, a container, you know, on the shelf in a Walmart, you know, something that actually has that little green certified vegan logo from the Vegan Society. It's pretty, so there's lots of options.
Right.
Thank
Great.
You so much.
Yeah, so, so people can look, yeah, anyone who's interested in that, I really suggest if you'd like to participate as a vegan mentor, that's a good way to help others, and people who are interested in being vegan, they can definitely use some help. And, you know, one of the principles in all of this is one of the ways to thrive as a vegan is to help someone else thrive as a vegan. I mean, there's probably no better way, in a sense, to thrive as a vegan than to help other people thrive as vegans. That's really how the universe works. You know, if you want to be successful, help other people be successful. And the more I think we practice that, the more our lives will be just happier and more enriched. And it doesn't mean we don't have any challenges. We will still have challenges, but the you know, we'll be playing in a certain way where we're fulfilling a deeper our destiny in a way that's authentic. And I think that there's nothing more successful than that. And you know, that's what real success is. I think is living a life that has meaning. And I love seeing this, Grace, what you're doing, and it's very inspiring. So. Thanks so much for sharing that. Do you have any place online where people can go to find out anything more about what you're talking about, or is this it? They should just go to Peace Advocacy Network. Is there any other place people can go or to what you're talking about?
Oh yeah, The actual website, the where they can find the information about wherever in the country, there's different ones all over the country, but it would be panveganpledge.org.
Oh, PAN, right. Youth Advocacy Network, right. P-A-N, veganpledge.org.
Yes,
or no, PAN.
PanVeganPledge.org, exactly.
Okay, right, okay, good. All right, great.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you. All right, thanks so much, Grace. I'll talk to you later. Okay, and we have someone from San Jose who has, you have your hand up in the San Jose area.
Hi. Hi.
Hi,
hi, Dr. Will, I can call you Will.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm.
It's Jacqueline.
This?
My name is Jacqueline Texier. Yeah, I'm in San Jose, California.
Oh, Jacqueline, right.
Yeah, hi. I'm so pleased to have gotten that email from Stephen about upcoming Palooza. I guess you're both excited about that and collaborating with Sir Paul McCartney as well as Joan Ocean. No. John and Ocean Robbins.
Right. Yeah. They're.
Yeah.
You know, everybody I think knows who they are. John Robbins was the guy for New America,
course.
And Ocean is his son. And they're putting on an event the second year now in April, which is called the Food Revolution Summit. It's an online, and they're interviewing well-known people. About the food revolution, and Steve and I think myself also I will probably also somewhat promote it. I mean, in the sense of let people know about it. It's not a vegan event in the sense that they're interviewing a lot of people who are not vegans, and they're giving their opinions and ideas and suggestions on how we can have better food. Some of them are a lot about GMOs and. A lot about, you know, healthier food and so forth, but they're definitely not all vegans. And then Steve is putting on an event. I'll be speaking for it, I think, but he's putting on Evolve Palooza, which is, I think, kind of grew out of Raw Palooza, but it's a little different. And that'll be in May, I believe. And Steve, you can correct us on all this, but that's in May. And then actually in June, just to let everybody know, towards the end of June, like around the 20th or 23rd, we're going to do, for the second time, we're going to put on Vegan Palooza as an event. It was so successful last year, and we had 12,000 people registered. It was the largest vegan event ever online, and it was all vegan. I mean, there's no, everybody who was speaking, and the ideas were, that was the foundation, was how to find vegans and how to spread it and so forth.
That was
so
great. I did the Raw Palooza and the Vegan Palooza both last year.
Okay, good. So you're,
wonderful.
So you're aware. So this year it's kind of a continuing on. We have the Vegan Palooza coming up on the 20th, and John and Ocean are doing that one as well. Yeah, the Food Revolution.
Yes, I understand. Aren't you going to be in Berkeley a couple of days, Saturday?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did want to mention that too. Thanks for bringing it up. Just be aware, everyone, if you're anywhere around or not, I'm not sure. But in Berkeley, there's a wonderful event. This is the second annual Berkeley Vegan Earth Day, and so that's going to be on Saturday, and I'm going to be presenting there. There's I think three keynote speakers, myself and Gene Bauer, the founder of Farm Sanctuary, and Alan Goldhammer, who's the founder of Puma Health Clinic at Santa Rosa, which is a vegan health clinic. They're both great, people. And I think they're also going to be showing the new version of Peaceable Kingdom, which is a quote. I don't know if you've all seen that, the new version, Peaceable Kingdom, A Journey Home. That's going to be shown there, too. And there's also quite a few other vegan people who will be speaking, people who are vegan consultants and authors and so forth, a variety of fields will be speaking as well. So that's going to be this coming Saturday. And it's great to see this kind of Vegan Earth Day connection being made. And that's another thing, I think, be good to see more of that happening around the country. And then the following weekend, just so you're aware, I'll be putting on with Madeline a three-day vegan and spirituality retreat in San Francisco, at the Sivananda Yoga Center, and that looks like it's going to be great. It's a, you can stay right there in the center. It's right in Golden Gate Park, and it's going to be, you know, meditation and yoga along with vegan teachings. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and there's more detail, I think, on their website, especially on their Facebook event. That's probably the best place to look. I haven't looked lately on their website, but I think it's probably up there on the website, too.
Well,
so it's a wonderful people that are getting that are actually putting this on. So
the 3-day weekend. Oh, can you attend any part of that event or one day?
I think you probably yes, you definitely can. He has it set
any
up
any part
there
of it.
So that you can come anytime. You can come for Friday night. I'm giving a lecture Friday night, and then Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday afternoon, and then Sunday evening. Is a, you know, in 3-hour lectures, you know, they're long. I mean, like they're full, the whole lecture plus exercises and guided meditations and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's wonderful. And,
you know, and we also, just to remind everybody, if you're aware, we do have the Wilkie's Diet facilitator training going on right now in Petaluma every other Tuesday. And that's basically... So it'll be next Tuesday, and then the following, wait 2 weeks, it'll be that Tuesday. And then I've also, well, that's basically it. So it's going to be, that's something that's been happening. It's been going great, actually. It's been nice to be able to do that. So we have more people.
Yeah, I did want to bring up an issue about, I remember the last month the call, is somebody was very critical of Paul McCartney in that thinking he was vegan, he turns out he's actually vegetarian and put out a cookbook. You know, certain recipes that still involve some dairy products. But I like to look at the big picture, especially if you want to combine with what Stephen said in his email about the spirituality aspect of and compassion for all animals, and especially as you mentioned about the priest and being a man of the cloth, and as they say, and showing real, genuine compassion, not just a few biblical references at random or quoting chapter and verse, but actually living it and showing examples of compassion. I say compassion for God's creatures because I consider myself a metaphysical Christian, certainly. But I just thought we need to join forces with vegetarians, not turn up our noses at somebody who's not entirely vegan. And even among vegans, they say, oh, we are not raw vegan. And so we can't have dissension in the ranks, so to speak. I think it's so important that we have a unified perspective and so and not criticize and point fingers and blame each other. Because she was rather very upset over discovering that Paul McCartney was vegetarian, not vegan, whereas I am grateful for what he's doing for animals and then using his tremendous influence, which is golden. I mean, that is so valuable. We need to preserve that. We need to be grateful, certainly, and to, you know, as I say, join forces and not, you know, be critical of one another. We can't afford to because, well, there's more and more vegans in the world, but then we encourage that by being kind and gentle and compassionate with each within our own ranks, and then we can more genuinely be that way with people who are still eating meat. I'm grateful that he doesn't eat any meat, so I say, it just be very grateful for that, and that he may eventually become vegan all the way, but it's okay if he doesn't. You know, he's still doing good work. He's still helping. Helps the cause. And
Can I mention something about that, Will?
Yeah. We have a few people that want to speak. Steve, yes, please, go right ahead.
I just wanted to add to that, and because I got a couple of emails kind of critical about this event or promoting John and Ocean Robbins with the new information that John and Ocean are eating fish now. And to the person who emailed me and to what I say of expanding now with these Palooza events was that Evolvepalooza, I mean, we haven't launched it yet. It's next week. But if you go to evolvepalooza.com, you'll see the website of who we have speaking. And I partnered on this with the Conscious Life Expo. They run these conferences for the last 14 years out of Southern California on conscious living. They touch on a lot of topics that are new agey and all kinds of things.
Right.
So my intention with this and from these kinds of events is to bring the vegan message into it to educate even the speakers that we have on the event. And that includes, I mean, we have all kinds of speakers on this event, but you'll see the vegan message in here several times with people like Dr. Will Tuttle, Dr. Thomas Lodi, Dr. James Sheridan, Kim Sheridan, Dr. Gabriel Cousins doing the seminar on holistic veganism. And VegWorld Magazine, of course, is one of the biggest sponsors on the event. So what I say to that person in that is that I'm trying to go broad with this message and penetrate these people that aren't connecting the dots. So that's the intention
right.
on this. And promoting John Robbins' event, which, well, first of all, they're going to help us with Vegan Palooza in return for this. But secondly, there's some vegans on the panel, and the GMO message we thought was important to get out there as well.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. I understand, and I think it's actually getting kind of late here. It's I don't know where the time goes on these things, but I know that it was Lily that was mentioning that. I don't think she meant it as a criticism of Paul per se. It was just the idea was we couldn't use him for Vegan Palooza because on Vegan Palooza we only have vegans. We're not going to have someone who's a vegetarian. I want to stick with the vegan message because I think it's so precious. But that doesn't mean I don't appreciate, obviously, what Paul's doing, and I'm sure Billy appreciates what Paul's doing too. It's great work. But I think it's important to, like you're saying, Steve, to keep the, bring the vegan perspective in wherever we can because that's, I think, the real power. There's two more things, if it's okay, I'd like to just go forward here. One is this is simply, as we've been going kind of to getting here towards the end, I wanted to mention that Veronique, who's one of our people here, one of our great well, besides facilitators, she's from France, and she just said this, and I just thought I'd pass it on. I agree the French movement, she typed this in on her computer, I agree the French movement is somehow behind, and let's not forget how deeply entrenched cuisine is in our culture. We badly need a book like the World Peace Diet in France, also because of the fact that kids can't even have vegetarian meals, let alone vegan, in French schools. Yeah, I don't know if you knew that, but actually France has passed a law that every school must have meat served and every student must eat the meat. And I mean, it's just incredible. So I am grateful that there is a translation in French on the way, so I get to give the book to people and family in France at last. So thank you so much, Veronique, for that background information on France. And let's see. Oh, and also Steve sent me a message here too that I just want to pass on. That as far as the forum, the community forums, if you want to get email notifications in the forums, like I was talking about earlier in the call, just click on your username at the top of the page when you log in, and then scan down to the bottom of the page, and then click on My Preferences, and then you can set up the email notifications there. So that's something you have to do. I think I did do that. That's why I get notifications on Threads. And it's really nice to have. I think it's important to sort of remind, sorry I didn't remind everybody or let you know sooner about that, but, you can go into your, on the membership page, go to the preferences and click that you do want to have email notifications. And that, I think, maybe makes it a little easier. Otherwise, just keep checking back and see what people are saying. Great. And then the other thing I wanted to just also give a few minutes here at the end. I'm sorry it's kind of late to Lily. She's on the call, and I was going to mention a little bit about vegan dog and cat food, which I think is part of thriving as vegans. You know, we want to thrive ourselves, and we also want our companion animals to thrive, and it seems too bad if they have to eat the flesh of animals that have been killed, and that happens a lot, and it's quite a, it's a bone, it's a, as they say, I shouldn't even say bone of contention, it's tofu block of contention among some vegans who say that, we should feed these natural carnivores, we should feed the meat, and that's the best thing to do. So, Lily, if you don't mind, maybe just take a few minutes here as we're getting close to the end here, and if you could say a few words.
Oh, thank you, Will.
That'd be great.
Thank you very much, Will. You know, I've had a lot of discussions with vegans and pets, and I almost put up my pets. I have two thriving dogs, seven and 6 years old, and all of my pets are over. The rest of the cats are between 8 and 14 years old, and they've been vegan. I've been vegan almost going on 7 years, and they've been vegan as long as I have, but I almost gave up my pets because I just couldn't see being a vegan and then going to the shelf and putting all these large animals in pellets and cans and feeding them, you know, obligate carnivore, that kind of thing. So
right.
I did do some research. And evolution diet, all my pets are on evolution diet and have been all these years. And the oldest are two 14-year-old cats, both thriving. Talk about thriving.
Uh-huh.
And you talked about the littlest vegans. Well, these are really little vegans. And because my dogs are about 17 pounds also. And their coats are shiny. Their eyes are shiny. I use them as ambassadors of veganism whenever people go, oh, what beautiful dogs. Look at their shiny coats. Look how friendly.
Uh-huh.
And they jump all around, and their energy is incredible, as mine is. I am a thriving vegan. And these beautiful animals. And then I say, well, you know, I'm vegan, and so are these animals. And I tell them how long they've been vegan, and they are flabbergasted. And they say, well, I thought they needed to eat meat. And I said, no, not if it's well. If the formula is well
right.
done, correct. If it's
right.
a correct
right.
formula, they don't need to eat meat. And in fact, I think one of the oldest dogs in the history of dogs was a vegan, and all his owner did was he was a vegan, and the dog lived to be 27 years on food that the owner prepared. And
right.
I mean, 27 years is a long time for any dog to live. So, my animals are ambassadors. Their coats are beautiful. I'm on the World Peace Diet. The World Peace Diet is my life, is my creativity. Every day is a day to spread the message of the World Peace Diet. It has changed my life completely. And I love you, Grace. I'm sorry we didn't connect in Southern California when I was there. And thank you, Rebecca. You people are my heroes, that you just do it and you live it. And I do too. And I do try to educate people that their pets do not require animal products. And I have seven thriving cats. Now,
wow.
When they catch a mouse, you know, that's their
right.
business. But they're not catching factory-farmed animals. They're not catching those. They never could anyway. When they basically, my vegan cats, and they're very, very peaceful, my cats most of the time. After all, they are cats. But what they do love to eat is moths. They do like that. So that's very far from a factory farm animal, I think.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And even though, even the most tiniest, you know, amoeba has a consciousness, and I'm not going to go there.
Right.
I'm just not going to, as a vegan, as a committed vegan, this World Peace Diet turned Lily inside out. And what that means is that I am living the person that I always wanted to be, who was inside me and who was covered up by all of the terrible food and the pain of having to do that and not even knowing it. I what you see on the outside is also on the inside, and people do come up to me. I am an ambassador for the World Peace Diet, and I never go to town unless I'm well groomed and looking. You know, a lot of people, I live in the country, a lot of people come to town in their bathrobes. I mean, it's so laid back
right.
here. I always, people always, you know, comment, oh, you look so well. And I, you know, I get this, oh, the beautiful Lily. Well, I'm an older person, you know, I don't even go for that anymore, but still. They always say that, and I want to be an ambassador for the rest of my life. And whatever creativity comes out of me
from being an ambassador of the World Peace Diet. That is a God-given creativity, and I'm doing that. I'm doing that on a daily basis, and more is coming. It's on its way, and I just love you. I don't want to talk anymore. I don't want to go over, but I just thank you for asking me to come on. I want to make one comment about Paul McCartney. I was a Beatle maniac, and I still am, and I love Paul McCartney dearly, but I was under a misapprehension. I thought that he was, in fact, a vegan with his beautiful wife, Linda, and so therefore, when I actually asked them to play Wildlife on the Vegan Palooza, I thought I was talking about a vegan performer, and I was grateful.
Right.
And so I was disappointed when I said, oh, my Paul, I still love him madly. And yes, he is doing good work in the sense that he's bringing the idea of animal consciousness to people
right.
who have no clue and who right. like him. And yet maybe one day he will be a vegan. And people do come to me as an ambassador for the World Peace Diet. People come to me and say, Lily, I've given up everything except a little bit of cheese. And you know what I say to them? I say, if the whole world was doing what you're doing, it would be a much better world. Thank you, God.
Beautiful. That's a wonderful thing to say. Yeah, I hope everybody noted that. I mean, that's a great thing to say. Instead of saying, well, if you just give up the cheese, then you'd be there, to remind people that if everybody was doing what they're doing, it would be a much better place. And they feel,
oh, yes, and I get calls constantly because,
the
as you know, I use spirituality to help transform the world. It's my tool of being.
Mm-hmm.
My spirituality is very, very important to me through my 12-step programs, and I get people calling me every day about how they have compassion
right.
in their life, and they're so grateful that I actually told them about the World Peace Diet, because the World Peace Diet one day will break open, and that's my, I hope I live to see it. It will break open, and there will be a vegan revolution, and the World Peace Diet is what's going to bring it about. That's what I believe. I read it every day. I read two or three paragraphs a day now. I'm on to my fourth reading, and I just love it. It fuels me. It makes me thrive. And I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Lily. And thank you, everyone. The call is now coming to a close. We've really been going here full tilt for an hour and a half. And I want to thank everyone who called in and participated, or wrote in and participated, and everyone who's listening. By listening, you are also participating. And sending your thoughts and contemplating the ideas and sharing the ideas and the feelings that we're a part of here. I want to underline a couple of points here at the very end. Okay, number one, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone or listening or being with everyone on our call next month in May. It's the third Thursday in May is May 16th. And it's a wonderful time. May is a wonderful time. Please, when you have a chance, look at the resources that we sent you. I spend a lot of time every month putting that together, and I actually love doing it, so I would probably do it anyway, but yeah, since I there's a lot of great articles and information in there. I also want to mention that the fact that Madeline and I will be leaving at the end of May for a tour to Southern California. I'll be giving lots of lectures down around Los Angeles and farther south a little bit, Orange County. And we still have time to set up one or two more, so if you would like to help with that, I know some of the people who are facilitators are on this call right now are setting up events. Megan is, one in Vista is helping, and Tara also, and some other people. So we're looking forward to that. I also want to mention, I just got actually an email a few days ago from the Animal Rights Conference, which is going to be held this year in Washington, D.C., 2 years in a row. It's kind of complicated. Usually they alternate, but they're going to start alternating again next year. But anyway, I was actually flying to Switzerland for just a couple of weeks right then, and so I wasn't going to attend that or speak for it, but they actually specifically requested that they wanted me to speak at this Animal Rights Conference at a plenary to bring the vegan message more strongly to the conference. So so I switched my flight and everything else, and I'll be there. So if any of you are thinking about going to the Animal Rights Conference this year, it's the annual, it's like the big deal the Amorites Conference. It's going to be in Washington, D.C. Let me see the dates if I have them. There, you can look it up. Just look up AR 2013 and you will see. I think it's going to be, actually, it's in June. Is it in June? It's in June. It's something like that weekend, the 27th to the 30th. And so we'll be there for that. And then the final thing I want to just follow up here, because it just really struck a chord when I heard Lily talking about how she dresses up, how she looks beautiful, and as part of, I think, you know, thriving as vegans, I think that's part of it. You know, I think part of it really is celebrating the beauty that we are as human beings on this beautiful earth. And honestly, I have to tell you, for myself, now having been married to Madeline for many years, goodness gracious, I think it's 22 years now. And she's now, you know, she's like, kind of like, I remember not that long ago, I thought somebody who was, you know, 60, in the mid-60s, was kind of getting old. And I feel incredibly blessed to have such a beautiful woman as my partner. And I attribute a lot of it really to veganism. I mean, I think vegan living gives you this really just magical, wonderful opportunity to be alive and beautiful and young looking and acting well up into what most people are, you know, really suffering with diverticulitis and impotence and different forms of, you know, who knows what. We can really, I think, by being conscious, you know, I want to talk about this more. I think we'll continue the subject, how to thrive as vegans, you know, nutritionally. There's more I want to say about that, actually, and but also in the purpose of our lives and living in a way where we're actually being aware of and giving thanks for the beauty in our lives will increase the beauty in our lives. And I think that's what veganism is a revolution. It's a revolution of love and beauty. And it's bringing love and beauty and celebration not only into our own lives, but into the lives of everyone, and ultimately to the lives of all the animals who are here to celebrate their lives. And they are celebrating. I'm telling you, we stand out here and see the birds and the deer and the wild turkeys, and they're celebrating their lives. So I'm going to stop here. I want to thank a big thank you to Steve again for the great work you do, Steve. Thanks so much for helping us to keep everything on track and organized and functioning well. I want to thank each and every one of you who are on the call from all over North America and other parts of the world as well. And we have a tour coming up in the fall up to the Northwest and even to up into Canada, Victoria, and I think probably also Vancouver. We're still working on that. So let's stay in touch about all these things. And if you have anyone at any point has any questions or comments about the circle, what we could do, what we could present, or anything like that, please just let me know. Send an email to me. My email is willtuttle@earthlinks.net. You probably all know that already. And this is really our forum. It's your time, and I'm happy to obviously to answer questions and to respond, I think is a better word, to questions or comments. And together we are making a difference. So in closing, I send my love to you all, and I thank you for the efforts that you're making and wish you a wonderful month. We know that every day that goes by, that progress is being made, that the larger the shadows are looming, it means the light is shining brighter, and the light of veganism and loving kindness, compassion and joy and freedom is shining brighter every day in our hearts, and the force is unstoppable. So bless you all. Thanks again, and we will stay in touch. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.